720 WGN, White Sox Weekly in the rearview mirror as we move along to the beat. I spy Harry Tynewitz. What's up, Harold?
Hola. Hello, Lauren.
Now we're really partying like it's 2014.
Yeah,
I'm
hell
loving
way.
It.
Hell yeah, we are. Carm, Lauren, how the heck are you?
Oh, great. Even better now that you walked in.
Yes, I'm very excited today. I'm going to get to talk to Blake Rutherford, who's going to be a big part of the White Sox success when they get to the playoffs.
Why are you dogging my interview with Blake
Rutherford? I'm saying I think it was a great trade by Rick Hahn, and I'm very excited to talk to him.
I walked in, saw you in the newsroom. You're like, Blake Rutherford. Blake Rutherford is an outstanding prospect, Harry Tynewitz.
I agree. On a team with a ton of outfielders, Blake Rutherford is one of the key guys.
Carm did a great job on that interview. If I could just find Carm to defend himself here.
I don't know why you didn't let Lauren ask questions.
Lauren was very intimidated by Blake, and or she was not available when the interview was taking place.
That may or may not be true.
Somewhere in there.
Likely story.
So we got to update everybody on the news of the day before you guys have your reunion, which I want to be a part of here, and just the Lauren Harry reunion. We have to do this. Tiger Woods is two shots back of the lead at the Masters. We're in the third round. Tiger's 11 under. Francisco Molinari is 13 under. Tony Finau is also 11 under. Brooks Koepka is at 10 under. Tiger's in the mix here. Anybody?
Wow.
The excitement level, I can just feel it here.
This is huge. Tiger Woods he was at one point tied. Now he's two strokes off the lead. This is the first major he could win. I mean, he's in spitting distance of that green jacket, and they're going to play early tomorrow. It's going to be they're going to start at 6:30 Chicago time. It's going to all be threesomes, so married guys won't understand what that is. But they think that the skies are going to open up at Augusta, you know, pretty early in the day. There's a good chance that they might not finish till Monday.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm someone that, like, has always cheered against Tiger because I found him to be arrogant and pompous. But, like, tomorrow I'm totally rooting for Tiger.
Yeah, it's almost like a comeback. A comeback that you expect but don't. I mean, after his back injury and then when he did come back and he was struggling really bad, that was rough.
When you go back fusion, when you have every other off the course incident that Tiger had, golf is 7,000 times more interesting when Tiger is going well, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually talked to Wright Thompson, senior writer, ESPN, was asking about...
Whoa, let me get my catcher's mitt out, because you just dropped a big name.
That was a huge name, right? me and Wright were hanging out.
Well, you finally met Mr. Wright.
Yeah, and he's
congratulations.
Well, he's doing a book on athletes and their journeys and what happens after they are off the court and how they live their lives, like a Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who's got to adjust to everything that he worked for to be this guy, and now he doesn't get to be that anymore, and he's got, and all those skills being hyper competitive don't serve him in actually living a life as a 40-year-old, 45-year-old, now 55-year-old. It's going to drive him nuts. And Tiger, he had some interesting thoughts about Tiger, where he doesn't think that Tiger's trying to chase Jack and have the most majors of all time, but he thinks that Tiger really, really, really wants his kids to see him be Tiger Woods. Like, that's important to Tiger.
I can see that.
Harry, you're the only one in here who has children, as far as I know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't really want my kids to see me as Tiger Woods.
Right, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I mean, Michael was the guy. Michael was the man. And, you know, I mean, there are people out there like, you know, Tiger, who was, you know, Jack Nicklaus, the greatest golfer of all time, but some people say Tiger's better. Arnie Palmer was better. But yeah, I get that. His kids didn't know how great he was. And he was a superstar. He did so much for the sport. He reinvented the sport and opened the doors for so many people, and I get that 100%.
More golf courses popped up in the United States of America during Tiger's reign.
He brought in a whole new audience.
It became cool to be a golf person when Tiger was rolling.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, like, Reggie doesn't remember me getting the four comp seats for every Bulls game in the eighth row, that it'd be fun to get those back. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Reggie doesn't remember when you were running down the United Center court and John Yurkovich
knocked
you into next week, which was one of the greatest in-game promotions that I've ever seen at a Bulls game. So congratulations. We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, Harry was in a, for those who have never listened to this story, Harry was in like this plastic ball, and he's running down the, he's banging the ball down the court. Of course, his competitor is seven times the athlete than Harry is, so he's way ahead of him.
Maybe eight.
Yeah, right. And Harry's going down one way being lapped, and he knows he's going to lose. So you veered off course just to crash into him on purpose.
And it was the only way I could win.
Strategy.
Well, and what happened was Yerk saw this was Harry's plan, so he sped up and knocked you into next week. It was unbelievable.
At least you were in a ball. I don't know if there's any positive way of looking at that story.
Were you concussed from that?
I was concussed, and
for real?
They can't concuss me.
Okay.
They can push me off a speeding horse.
That happened too.
They can knock me off a ball. They can put me on a blimp and tell me to hang out the side. I can't be concussed.
Congratulations. I'm proud of you. Hey, by the way, 312-981-7200. If somebody is watching the Masters right now and listening to the show and they don't watch golf, but you're so into it and you're like, you're a diehard listener to the Beats and everything's coming together, that's the person I want to hear from
right now. We just lost everybody.
Well, I feel like there might be that one person out there.
Your dad?
Are you going to? No, doesn't care about golf.
I mean, the Beat.
He doesn't care about that either. No, he listens to the show. My dad listens. Papa Fred's in. Come on. Papa Fred, one time I took him to the course. He his ball was on the green. There was a sand trap in front of him and the green. He just walked right through the trap right on up. I'm like, Dad, you can't do that.
That's not awesome. I'm sure he can do anything.
That's not how it works.
Carm's dad was one of the best high school quarterbacks ever to play in the Chicagoland area.
Is that true?
Yes, he did. He played at John Marshall High School. And he, was the star of the team, and he took the team to victory time and time again.
Isn't it Marshall High School? John Marshall's
Marshall, what'd I say?
John Marshall's the law school.
No, it's both. There's a John Marshall High School and a John Marshall Law School.
I thought it was just Marshall High School. Is it John Marshall?
Marshall.
I need a ruling on that, 312-981-7200.
Yeah, no, but he was a stud quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know if he was the greatest. What'd you call him?
One of the great high school quarterbacks.
There is
Carm, how dare you never tell me this?
There is a headline in the Chicago whatever newspaper it was back in the day where it says Carmen runs 100 yards to beat Harrison 7-0. He was back to punt. Bad snap. Papa Fred picked it up, ran past everybody. Touchdown, Marshall 7, Harrison 0, victory. Damn it.
And on the other hand, Carm never scored in high school.
That's true, too.
Marshall Metropolitan High School is the name of it. It's still technically John Marshall High School, but it's also officially titled Marshall Metropolitan.
That's okay, fine. If there's a John Marshall High School in there, you're correct, Harry. Congrats.
Why, thank you, Carm. It's not about being correct. It's about having fun. That's why I'm glad Lauren is here. Lauren Lapka, Purdue Boilermakers. Man, I thought Purdue was going to win that game.
Man, they should have won that game. That was a heartbreaker. They weren't getting the rebounds. They were definitely doing a lot of things wrong, but they played so well. Especially considering everyone kind of ruled us out early on in the year.
Who is that kid, and will he be that great in the NBA?
Edwards?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes. And
how tall is Karsten Edwards?
He's 6...
Is he taller than you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yes, by many inches. I think he's 6'1", 6'2".
No way.
No way.
No way.
They always exaggerate, right?
I feel like the dude's 5'9".
He's unbelievable.
He's so good. He's hitting shots like Steph Curry back by half court. It's insane. He's great. And now I'm just like, oh, maybe the Bulls. Who knows?
They could use a point guard. I don't know if that's the play, but maybe. Purdue, there's just a lot of really cool stories about Purdue this year. The cancer.
Tyler Trent, very sad story.
That's a terrible story.
But so much attention around Tyler and just.
And now they've named a gate after Tyler at Ross Aid Stadium.
My favorite player on Purdue is Nojel Eastern, who started Evanston High School. Nojel came in second for Mr. Basketball in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
He's number 20.
That's out of nowhere. I can't believe you just pulled that off.
Well, some of us are basketball fans.
His memory blows my mind. I don't know how you keep it all trapped in there.
Who's your favorite Boilermaker? That's your favorite Boilermaker of all time?
No, my favorite Boilermaker of all time? Oh, this is a good question. this is a fun question. Well, I mean, like, there's the popular ones, like Drew Brees. How do you not love Drew Brees? Every Texas high school, every Texas college told him, you're not going to be a good college quarterback. You're 5 foot nothing, like in Rudy. And all Drew Brees did was, like, break record after record after record at Purdue. Otis Armstrong, who played back in the day, was a great running back, went to the Broncos, number 24.
Uh-huh.
There's so many great Purdue players. Purdue's got, and I love going to Purdue games. Do you know that they have the largest mascot that is what do you call it, like stuck to the ground, freestanding, that giant Boilermaker that's outside the football stadium?
Oh, I actually hadn't heard that.
You were.
I know we have the largest drum.
And you do have the largest drum.
Which is always, if you stand near that thing when it's hit, it reverberates your body for like 5 minutes. It's crazy.
No, what if you're drinking and you stand near it?
Oof.
I mean, you really
might
have the shakes.
You might be going down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like Lauren Lapka's favorite Boilermaker is Robbie Hummel.
Oh, he was phenomenal. That, honestly, him playing there while I was a student really helped me get into the game of basketball.
Uh-huh.
So
I heard you tutored Robbie Hummel.
Oh, gosh, no. I was not in any way or shape or form to be a tutor ever. If anything, I needed the tutor.
Robbie's doing great work on TV, for the record. My favorite Boilermaker, just to name it, not favorite, but the roughest loss I ever had to Purdue is in my Northwestern fanship. Ricky Birdsong, they were, I think, 11-0 going into the conference season. Harry, of course, you remember this because you remember everything. They hosted Purdue.
Purdue won.
And yeah, right, there you go. Big Dog hit a game winner at the old Welsh Ryan Arena.
I have a Glenn Big Dog Robinson Milwaukee Bucks jersey at home.
He was a good Buck.
He was a great Buck.
He was. That was a good team. Him.
Give me Glenn Robinson's number.
13.
Yep.
Come on. Let's not play around. Have you guys connected enough here? I feel like this is a moment in time.
This is wonderful. Great. You know, I don't know. I don't know what Manly was doing that he waited so long to hire her here, but she is by far a wonderful addition to WGN. Has been doing great work. And, you know, I told Kevin Powell like 3 times, man, it's not good to have any kind of romantic relationship with anybody you're doing the show with. He says, I can't help myself, Harry. I'm so attracted to Ro.
There's nobody. Great job making it awkward. Hey, Lauren, thanks for coming in.
No, thanks for having me. You guys have fun.
Thank you for so much. There's big NBA news today, too. I know you're excited.
Brooklyn
about
beat the Sixers.
That's not it. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. The beat till 7. Harry, good to see you.
Good to be seen.
So, what was your reaction this week when Magic Johnson just all of a sudden just
left?
He just shows up at a press conference. Yeah, I'm quitting. I didn't tell the owner of the team, Jeannie Buss. I didn't tell my wife, Cookie. I didn't tell LeBron James. I met with him on Saturday. I didn't tell anyone, and now I'm telling the media. By the way, Rachel Nichols, let's do a me and you a little bit later today. Just I'll do that too. I mean, unbelievable.
So the first thing I thought, of course, is something's up. Like, what's really going on? What's the real reason? There are still people that think that there, you know, that there was a specific reason why Michael, I'm doing air quotes, retired. You know,
why are you doing that?
Because I like to get that voice out of you.
It's just not true.
You don't think there's any possibility that
he was forced out of the league?
That something could have happened?
No, I don't.
Okay,
go ahead.
I agree with you. I don't believe it either. But when you hear Magic Johnson, who is running his team, the Lakers, who is very close to Jeannie Buss, who has Jeannie Buss's full, you know, commitment. Magic, whatever you want to do, we'll do. Magic Johnson, who supports Michigan State like nobody else, just the coolest guy, life is going his way, a brilliant businessman. Put all those movie theaters up in Southern California, brought them into African-American neighborhoods where they didn't have them. He owns a bunch of Starbucks. He's so cool. For him to leave the Lakers, I thought, uh-oh, something's happening.
See, I didn't think that at all, and I thought he's finally figured it out. You just want to be Grandpa Magic, and there's nothing wrong with that. You were a phenomenal basketball player. You're a great businessman. You don't want...
Why didn't he tell LeBron?
I don't know. Because actually, I do know. Let me take that back. He didn't tell LeBron because he's your classic passive-aggressive, who doesn't want confrontation, and he just avoided telling LeBron because he was uncomfortable. He just, or he just felt, maybe he felt like he didn't owe LeBron an explanation. I don't think that was it. I just think Magic, just for whatever reason, on the court, you want to have a battle royale, that's where he's comfortable doing it. Off the court, saying something that he doesn't want to say, just doesn't seem like that's his game.
I still think we might find out something about him.
Okay. He
quit so abruptly.
You think that, like, we got another health scare? What are we going here?
And I'm not saying necessarily health scare. Maybe he's involved in something. Something happened. Something came up. It just, the way it came out of the blue, out of nowhere. I mean, Magic Johnson is in great shape. He's very happy. He's finally, I mean, he's running the Los Angeles Lakers, the team he put back on the map. I just don't think he's in a hurry to leave there.
312-981-7200. Who has been promoted to jobs that they don't deserve? He... Thank you. Open. Hey, let it out. Who has been promoted to jobs they don't deserve? Magic Johnson has been hired as a talk show host. Lasted 13 shows.
Arsenio was the host.
No, he had his own show, The Magic Show.
Oh, yeah.
He got his own show.
Yeah.
You don't remember it because it lasted two weeks. It was so terrible.
It was terrible.
Magic Johnson was hired to be the head coach of the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Fired. Awful. He doesn't want to put in the work to be the head coach of the Lakers, but he's hired because people like him. He's got the Magic personality.
So you're not talking about bad, like, broadcast decisions, like giving Joe Montana a role.
That's the same exact thing. But people love Joe Montana, so let's make him the color commentator, even though he's got the personality of a Leaf.
Joe Montana, as a quarterback, one of the greatest ever. 4 rings from the Super Bowl. As a broadcaster, he's a can of Pringles.
Right. Dan Marino, great quarterback. Awful studio host, beyond terrible. Can't do anything that's A, of interest, or B, speak a single sentence correctly.
Right. So who's the guy from the Dream Team that had the second great career after being an NBA superstar? Charles Barkley.
Charles is entertaining.
Charles is 10 times entertaining.
Right.
Tony Romo. Tony Romo is looking at a $10 million a year deal.
People aren't, because he's very good at his job.
Right.
But my point is that we take people that we like and we elevate them to positions that they're not the least bit capable
of. But go ahead.
Because we just want to be around them.
But there's a big difference between taking a superstar after his retirement and putting him on the air as a broadcaster as opposed to taking a superstar and putting him in charge of your franchise.
Right. Right.
I mean, I understand why John McDonough, runs the Blackhawks, why John McDonough and Jay Blunk, and Pete Hasson sit on top of the Blackhawk throne. I get that. I get why, Crane Kenny is the business guy and Theo is the player guy with the Cubs. I understand that. I understand what Kenny Williams has done. I don't understand, I mean, to me, Magic was going to be successful because of his personality, because of what's on his resume, not because he's a great, judge of talent, evaluator of talent. That team is so messed up. Yeah, Lonzo Ball was going to have surgery without telling the Lakers. Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Where, the sport, really, Carm, the sport.
Oh, don't attack the sport.
Have you watched the NHL?
312.
NHL playoffs are like 100 times more exciting than the NBA playoffs. Without the Bulls, without the Blackhawks, which playoff would you rather watch?
Hold on, let's just stay in one lane of Magic Johnson getting gigs that he does not deserve. And you can look around this great country of ours.
Yeah. So your question was, who got promoted that didn't deserve it the most?
Who have we elevated to a position that they're not the least bit capable of, have no background working in that spot?
And are we worried about the new owners of the station for me to answer that question?
No.
Okay.
We're not. We're having a very fair discussion.
Okay.
I think that that is okay. Quick timeout. News is next, 720 WGN.
So today, I'm going to step down as a president. I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody. I was thinking about all those times, all guys who want me to mentor them or be a part of their lives, and I can't even do that. I had more fun on the other side than on this side, because now, tomorrow, I would have to affect somebody's livelihood and their life.
Ho, 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 it's magic.
I love it. You know, I had more fun in my life when I had zero responsibility. It's a great way to live if you can pull it off. And he had a lot of responsibility in his life to this point. He's earned the right, man.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yes, sure. But I just find it fascinating how we just elevate people to it. Yeah, you know what? You could be the president of the Lakers. You want to be in that room.
But you know what they were going for? They were going for Magic will talk him into it. If anybody could talk him into coming here, Magic could talk him into coming. He'll talk LeBron into coming, then he'll talk Paul George into coming, then he'll get anybody he wants. He's Magic.
Michael Jordan can run the Wizards, no problem.
Yeah, Mike
doesn't want to work. He doesn't. He just wants to smoke cigars, play golf.
He's good at it.
Talk about his career a little bit every now and then.
Well, he built an empire, with his commercial endorsements.
Yeah, he's a great businessman.
By the way, here's a guy who I think does deserve it. The other guy that's even better at commercials than Michael was, Peyton Manning. They're throwing money at him to be an announcer. They're just, he's never announced the game, obviously, but they're throwing money at him.
What gig?
Is that something you don't believe he is entitled to?
No, listen, if you've...
But there's a big difference between being a broadcaster and running a franchise.
Being a broadcaster, if you've built your Q rating enough that people are just going to tune in because they want to hear what you have to say, congratulations. That's a good job. If you're boring and brutal, eventually they'll turn on you and they'll want you out of the booth. That happens all the time, too.
You know, Brooks Boyer gets paid a lot of money to run the White Sox. Did you know that for a year there was a general manager for the White Sox named Hawk Harrelson? I love Hawk Harrelson. Hawk Harrelson has fascinating stories. To have dinner with Hawk Harrelson or to have breakfast with Hawk Harrelson, he would give you one great story after another great story. And he was a, stud outfielder, a great athlete. He went from baseball to golf, but he should never have been GM of the White Sox.
Was not the position for him. And the White Sox figured out, you know what, you'd be best as our TV voice and create a whole following right there as the Hawk, which was perfect for him. So, right, we do this because, how do you get that spot? Because they really liked Ken Hawk Harrelson. Dan, welcome to WGN. What's your thoughts on Magic and how we promote people to positions that they're not qualified just because we like them? Dan?
I've got nothing but respect for Magic Johnson as a player.
Me too.
I watched him in college and in the pros. And I really thought this was a job he wanted. But the way he left the organization, and I just think of him as a loser now, as a guy that, walked away from a challenge. Someone that when the tough got going, he folded. It's just really sad.
Dan, do you think there's any chance that we're going to hear like some kind of story, like some kind of reason that Magic was forced to leave because something came up in his personal life? Or, I don't know anything like that, but I'm just asking, is that a possibility in your mind?
It's a possibility, definitely. And to be honest, I really hope that's true to a certain extent. I never looked at him as a guy that walked away from a challenge. And, to do what he just did in L.A., I shake my head.
Hold on a second here, Dan.
SMH.
He stepped in. He did it for 2 years. He brought LeBron James to L.A. He put his best foot forward. He didn't want to do it anymore. He won 5 championships as a player. Don't you think calling him a loser is a little bit over the top?
It's kind of like, you're only as good as your last game, kind of
thing.
Wow. I love Magic Johnson as a player, as a person, but I just don't get it,
Dan,
I just don't. I just don't get why the way he handled everything at the end here, you know, not going to the team first, not, you know, doing it as an organization. There's just so many factors that
that's
you're
fair.
Like, wow, what happened to this guy?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I appreciate the call, Dan. He did not handle it great on the way out.
From the 708, come on, Mark. Harry, say it already. Magic Johnson's not smart enough to be the GM of the Lakers, and he never went to class at Michigan State. I don't know that's true. Okay. I don't know if that's true.
That's a terrible text.
Why is that a terrible text?
Because it's got nothing to do with intelligence. He's built a business empire. The guy's got, you know how much money
he's right.
Made?
That's the first thing we said is he brought movie theaters into neighborhoods that hadn't had these gorgeous movie theaters and Starbucks and stuff like that.
And he's been an investor with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's done more off the court. He's been incredibly successful. And the fact that he wasn't successful as the Lakers president, it's got nothing to do with intelligence. It's got the fact that he doesn't want to work that hard. And he also perhaps is... maybe he's not great at evaluating talent. I mean, the roster that he put together this year, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee. I mean,
keep going. Keep going.
I mean, it's there's a lot of ugly there, guys that can't shoot.
But aren't they in a rebuild? I mean, wasn't the plan like we'll get LeBron this year and then next year we're going to get – is Paul George up?
Paul George was – The Lakers didn't trade for him. He ended up in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City did. They gave up Victor Oladipo. He fell in love with being there, and that didn't happen. They weren't aggressive enough in going to get Paul George. You can blame him for that. That's fair. By the way, the guy that he didn't want to fire because he didn't want Genie to be mad, Luke Walton.
How about it?
They mutually parted ways, and then a day later, Luke Walton ends up in Sacramento as the Kings head coach, we're learning today. So Vlade Divac, another former Laker who's doing interesting things in Sacramento, hires Luke Walton. So he's out of work for all of one day. Luke Walton's going to be fine. All right.
Let's just think about that. Out of work for one day.
Out of work for one day.
Remember when Rob Ryan got fired, the defensive coordinator, Rex's brother?
Sure.
Because I'll be out of work for 5 minutes.
Didn't work out that way for Rob.
Well, he got another job, but then he got fired from that one as well.
Well, it's just very interesting, you know. Guys that'll be out of work for 1 minute. If the Cubs, who had a disappointing loss today, and Kyle Schwarber went nuts on the umpire because he was called out on a check swing to end the ball game, if the Cubs continue to play the way they're playing and Joe Maddon gets fired, he'll be unemployed for all of 5 seconds.
They should not fire Joe Maddon, by the way.
Joe Maddon will have a job the next day. If not within the hour,
it would. In my opinion, Joe Maddon should not be fired.
Well, it's amazing when you look at what happened this week. The Bulls had their outgoing press conference. John Paxson, I went over there on Thursday. Okay, and then the question comes: are you all in on Boylan?
Who was more depressed, you or Pax?
Pax seemed like he was in a great mood.
Right. You're so depressed.
I wasn't depressed.
You're bummed out with the state of the Bulls. You want them.
I wouldn't even say that, but I wouldn't have been racing to give Jim Boylan an extension. That makes no sense to me.
Makes no sense to me either. I would say 90% of Bulls fans feel that way.
Right. Who's hiring Jim Boylan to be their head coach? And why can Joe Maddon, who won a World Series and has been in the playoffs for 4 straight years.
Right, and don't forget what he did with Tampa. Tampa Bay was the butt of a joke. I mean, if you did a joke about, well, that's like the Tampa Bay winning the World Series, Joe Maddon went there, you know, 8 years, 9 years. He got them to the World Series.
Right, incredible job. So how is that guy able to manage on a quote-unquote lame duck year? Joe Maddon can do it. But Jim Boylan can't? Jim Boylan needs an extension to coach next year? Jim Boylan's earned that? You don't know. I get that they like Jim, and I appreciate the fact that Jim Boylan wears his heart on his sleeve, all that. That's beautiful. But you don't need to give him a contract extension. Let the year play out. And I was arguing with this on Sports Talk Live with Cap and David Haw, and they're saying, hey, that's no money to the Bulls for them to extend him out. It means nothing to him. It's just creating security in the organization and giving a little bit of a feel to the team that, hey, this guy's going to be here, follow what he says. I don't want players on my team that are not going to play hard because the coach doesn't have an extension. Those guys are playing for themselves. They're not playing because Boylan has an extension.
How many teams besides the Bulls formed leadership committees this year?
That's a good question. I don't know, Harry. Probably not many.
That's what Jim Boylan did. There's only 12 guys on the team. There's like 28 lovables. The lovables should have formed, you know, a leadership committee before the Bulls did. I know you want to talk about D. Rose, too.
I do want to talk about D. Rose. And coming on back here, I want to give some credit to a guy who got a job this week that certainly deserved one.
Yeah, now we're talking.
So we'll do that next. 720 WGN.
I've been privileged to coach some of the great players in the game, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here today. I want to thank all the players for being here today. You know, it's Monday, first probably practice day going into the playoffs. I want every one of you guys to remember where you're at right now and remember the feeling that you have today. Next year, we want to be right now coming off the ice with our skates on, and we're preparing for our first round opponent.
Coach Q, back in the game with the Florida Panthers. Congratulations to Coach Q. Best of success. Dale Tallon partnering up. Harry, you're nodding your head in approval. You like it.
I love it. You know, I mean, Blackhawks play the Panthers. I want the Blackhawks to beat them 15-0.
Of course.
But I want the Blackhawks to play the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals next year.
The Florida Panthers, you want to break down their year, Harry? Big-time year for the Panthers.
It's been a disappointing run for the Panthers. They've got some extreme talent on offense.
There's no doubt. I love the Panthers roster.
Hello, when you talk hockey.
I mean, listen, when you think about the talent that the Panthers have.
Yeah, like Jonathan Huberto?
No, I love Mike Hoffman. I think he's sweet as a left wing.
Yep. Mike Hoffman's your best player there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go with Barkov.
Barkov, they got,
right.
Guy's a monster.
He's huge. I mean, dude had 96 points this year. And then that other guy, Jonathan Huberter.
Right, with the aforementioned.
Huberto.
The aforementioned.
Huberto?
Huberto. The aforementioned Jonathan Huberto.
And right. Don't forget Aaron Ekblad.
Aaron Ekblad is a stud blue liner.
You know who led the Florida Panthers, Mr. Hockey, in plus minus this year?
Wasn't Roberto Luongo.
No, it was not. Starts with a Nick. Ends with a Bukestad.
Oh, really? I would not have picked him, Nick Bujesad.
He's plus two on the year, one of the few Panthers that was actually on the plus side.
I don't know how much longer they're going to stick with Luongo. He's epic in terms of, if you look on the all-time list, Bobby Lou is like, I think, fourth or fifth for total wins in the sport. But they have to deliver. So Quenneville's, everybody knows, Quenneville is the second winningest coach in the history of the sport. You know, he's been with the Avalanche, the Blues, longtime Blues, and then, of course, the Hawks, three world championships. But you got to get him players. If Dale doesn't get him players, Q's going to be, he's not going to be taking the skates off the ice.
312-981-7200, I've got a question that interests me. Yes, Q needs players, I agree. How should the Blackhawks honor Q? What should the Blackhawks do for their head coach who won three or is a part of three cups? I mean, I'm sure they're going to do the video tribute. We'll have a sweet
moment. Right, they'll do the video tribute. You want, like, a statue? You want, like, a plaque?
I don't know. Maybe a statue, maybe a plaque, maybe nothing.
The most disappointing of the new baseball stadiums is the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Have you had the pleasure yet?
I have not. I went to the old Riverfront Stadium, but now I have not been to the new one.
The new one, I mean, the smokestacks in the outfield, is about as cool as it gets. But it's so depressing. You know, Camden Yards, I'm lucky enough to have gone there. It's awesome. You know, up in Seattle, it's awesome. There are so many great, you know, new stadiums. And the one in Cincinnati is brutal. But on the concourse, inside the park,
right,
they have a mural of the Big Red Machine. It's done like in tile. And it's, you know, it's Ken Griffey Sr., it's Cesar Geronimo, it's George Foster, the most underrated person, most underrated player on the Cincinnati Reds Big Red Machine. It's Pete Rose, it's you know, Concepcion, who invented the bounce throw to first. It's Joe Morgan, who's a pompous, arrogant, you know what.
Tony Perez,
right. And, of course, the greatest catcher.
Johnny Bench.
Right. You know,
I know my Big Red Machine, don't you worry. Dave Concepcion, sure, got you.
So I think the Hawks will at some point honor the Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, the guys that were there for the three, they'll be permanently, I don't know if it'll be a statue, maybe, you know, some kind of, like, mural, something inside, like, by the ice.
I mean, the Bulls have a banner for Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Coach, Phil Jackson. Do you raise something like that up for Q? Q. And put his record on there and put the three cups. Should they do that?
Yeah, I can see them doing that.
312-981-7200 is the phone number, by the way. How would you like to honor Q? How should the Blackhawks honor Q?
Maybe
if anything.
Maybe all the players should wear silver mustaches.
That's a humorous idea that won't happen, but sure, why not? Maybe you know, when he returns to the UC, maybe they could give out a little something, something.
60 seconds on hockey, as long as we're there. If you're not watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're missing out on something spectacular. It is drama. It is exciting. The worst team in the playoffs is up 2-0 on one of the best teams in history of the sport.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets on top of the Lightning. It's awesome.
Tampa Bay tied the all-time record for wins in a season with 62 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blue Jackets barely made it. They made it by a whisker into the playoffs, and the Blue Jackets went into Tampa and they won the first two games.
Right. Not home until Tuesday night. Long break in the series.
Artemi Panarin, who of course we remember wearing 72 at the Hawks, he's a free agent after this year. He is just on a mission there, and Bobrovsky, their goaltender, is playing great.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch them. So, I mean, I have no love towards the Blue Jackets, but I'll always love Panarin. And this reminds me of when the Hawks won the President's Trophy in 91 and the Minnesota North Stars played physical and they took it from them. But there's going to be one game that's going to be like a six period overtime game. And if you watch that, you will love Stanley Cup hockey the rest of your life.
What do you think the chances are that someone who's listening to this show right now has actually watched a minute of Blue Jackets Lightning?
I think it's possible. Curtis, let's just go with Curtis. He's right here.
Curtis has to work here. He doesn't qualify, but go ahead.
I do. I have watched more than that. And also, Harry, you didn't mention Kucherov is suspended for Game 3.
Yeah, how about it? Did you see that hit?
That was violent.
Yeah, how would you describe that?
Very violent. Extremely violent.
He was mad because his guy got hit.
Right.
But you had to, I agree with the suspension, don't you?
But that was the guy who, of course, was in long the race with Patrick Kane for the points total.
Mm-hmm.
So now you lose him for Game 3 when they're already down 2-0 in the series.
He's the MVP.
Four. Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He's who is going to be the MVP in
a crucial game. You're losing him.
You can't have that. That's not what you want at this point in the series when you're down 2-0.
And New Year's Day, the Blues were behind the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Blues go into Manitoba and they knock off the Jets the first two games. They're up 2-0 on the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, that was the whole thing. Like, if the Hawks can get in, you never know what happens in the NHL playoffs. It's very disappointing that they didn't make the playoffs, all that. I actually enjoyed this season. Every game was a playoff game from, like, game 50 on. So that was kind of fun. I give them credit for actually making it interesting. Disappointed to come up short. Optimistic about next year, all that. What you're saying, crazy things happen in the hockey playoffs all the time. Goaltenders stand on their heads, people win series, Blue Jackets,
right.
Lightning, all of it.
In the NBA, is there any way the Clippers are going to beat the Warriors? Any way they're going to win a game, let alone the series?
Is there any way that the Denver Nuggets will beat the Seattle Supersonics when they were a one seed? Yeah, it happened.
It happened twice. Remember Dikembe Mutombo?
Yeah, I do.
On the ground cradling the basketball?
Is there a chance that the New York Knicks as an 8 seed will beat the Miami Heat as a 1 seed? Yes, it happened.
Is there a chance that like a smoking hot, beautiful blonde is going to say, yeah, Carmel, I'll marry you?
I don't. Like, the whole concept that an 8 can beat a 1 is a reason, like, that's good.
It never happens in the NBA. It's happened, like, 2 or 3 times. Happens in hockey.
Last year in March Madness, 16th seed upset Virginia.
Yeah.
That's basketball.
It's still an example.
It's college basketball.
Okay. I tend to like where the best teams meet at the end of the playoffs, and you've yet to see the Warriors against whoever's going to come out of the East.
Right, right. But if you, well, I mean, who's not cheering for the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Who's not cheering for the Milwaukee's one of my favorite suburbs of Chicago.
I'm looking forward to making a trip up to Milwaukee for some playoff basketball. You should come with. Quick time out. We'll get you into news, 720 WGN. WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. White Sox fall to the New York Yankees 4-0. Ivan Nova pitched well. Yolmer Sanchez booted a routine double play ball that would have helped the White Sox perhaps keep the Yankees off the board. The Yankees scored three in the inning and added on one more in the eighth.
Aaron Judge.
And the Cubs lost at Wrigley 6-5 to the Angels, as they did have runners at second and third in the ninth, but a bad at-bat from Wilson Contreras. And then Kyle Schwarber struck out on a controversial check swing. Game over. That series tied up at one apiece, as the baseball season is not exactly off to a good start on either side of town.
Now, Kyle Hendricks, surprisingly, has not been great, and he's usually Mr. Ground Ball. A lot of the balls that have been put in play against Hendricks so far have been in the air, which is not really good.
I'm actually not surprised by that. Whenever Hendricks pitches well, which has been often,
right?
I don't understand how he does it. He doesn't throw particularly hard. He has to have such pinpoint control for him to be successful.
Gee, if only the Cubs had a pitcher like that before, who didn't have, like, blow-you-away stuff, but had pinpoint control.
That's not true. Maddox, when he was in his prime, threw 95 miles an hour. Threw way harder than Kyle Hendricks. Hendricks throws 88.
But how many games did Maddox win by being cunning, by outsmarting
the
hitter?
That's one guy. And a lot of people would compare Kyle Hendricks. You say, look, he's Maddox. Like, no, there's only one.
Well, he's not Maddox, right. Maddox had 300 wins. But, you know, Kyle Hendricks is only 2 years removed from having the lowest ERA of any starting pitcher in the league.
I understand. But if I had been making, and the Cubs just sign him long-term, and hopefully, and it's not huge money, and I think it'll be fine. But if I was making a long-term bet on whether Kyle Hendricks is going to be that guy, Cy Young candidate guy, or somebody who regresses back to mid-4 ERA and he's a back-of-the-rotation starter, I would have bet on that.
I am much more concerned about number 11 than number 28.
Sweet Yu Darvish?
Yeah, lying to his neighbors.
Well, how do you do that?
Remember last year he had the whole fence deal that he wanted to put a fence up, and there's a law in Evanston, you can't have a fence that's so high. And he asked the neighbor, you know, he said, well, maybe my neighbors will waive this law. And they said, no, you know, we went over to your house with cupcakes and a plant and you've been rude to us. And no, follow the ordinance. So he made amends and he went over there and said, look, here's what I'm going to do. Is I'd really appreciate it, you know, because people will come and they'll bug my family. Could I just build a wrought iron fence, a fence that has very thin piping that you can still see through, because the neighbors don't want to lose their view of the lake. And it's a very nice neighborhood where he lives in Evanston. Darvish has the only house, by the way, in Evanston that has a dock. He can take his boat out right from Evanston.
What a life.
So anyhow, they said, okay, go ahead and do that. So he built the fence, but instead of being wrought iron, it's a wall. He lied. He just built a wall.
That's awful.
Right. Sure? Right. How do you build a wall without Roger Waters and David Gilmour?
Did I miss this story? Has this been written up, or are you just this Harry?
This happened. While you and your fiance are recording each other sleeping, I'm reading the paper. I'm watching the news. I'm listening to WGN radio.
I missed that one. My bad. Speaking of what you just mentioned.
Yes, David Jennings will back me up on this.
I'm sure he will. Speaking of what you just mentioned, this was me last night. That was 17 seconds that my fiance recorded me snoring because she believes...
Please tell me that was snoring.
That she believes that I have sleep apnea. So she literally just texted me, snoring. 3 a.m, she's getting the phone out and recording me.
It's tough for a partner when the other partner has sleep apnea. And you know what? For your own benefit, you should go get it checked out.
Does that sound like sleep apnea to you? That sounds like a dude sleeping.
Well, I mean, you could have adenoids, or it could be sleep apnea. Do you know, if you have sleep apnea, you're waking up like 100 times throughout the night. You don't even know it. Cochrane, I think, had a form of sleep apnea. I had it. I had my adenoids taken out as an adult, which sucks.
What? Your what?
Adenoids.
My adenoids? I didn't even know I had adenoids.
Adenoids. You got a computer there.
I do. I don't want to look it up. What's an adenoid?
I'll do it.
No, okay, fine. Adenoids.
Adenoids, if you take them out when you're a kid, it's nothing.
312-981-7200. Did that sound like I have sleep apnea? And what are adenoids? I'm looking it up. Adenoids.
Mm-hmm. I've got image of adenoids.
Adenoids.
Uh-huh.
Adenoids are a patch of tissue that is high up in the throat, just behind the nose. They, along with tonsils, are part of the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system clears away infections and keeps body fluids in balance. I think my body fluids are in balance, Harry. The adenoids and tonsils work by trapping germs coming in through the mouth and nose.
If you have enlarged adenoids, that will make it very hard for you to breathe through your nostrils. You'll have to breathe through your mouth, and that is a ticket to snoring.
So I need to get my adenoids removed.
I didn't say that.
Am I dying? I said,
no, you're not. Are you dying? No. I'm glad you're not being dramatic about this.
That's where I go.
No, you know, you might. The other way you could go is a mask.
Wear a mask?
Yeah.
To sleep?
Yeah. No, wear a mask when you're on the train. Scare the hell out of people.
I don't want to wear a mask when I'm sleeping. I want to go to sleep.
My friend Eric Danielson wears one. His ex-wife hated it.
Good for Eric Danielson. I don't want to be Eric Danielson.
Yes, sure, you do.
Sure, he's a great man.
He's a great man, wonderful wife, great son, and very wealthy from real estate deals. I miss you, Hollywood.
Oh, Elise, did you listen to me snoring?
Yes, when my son was three, he had his adenoids and tonsils out. We could hear him breathe in his crib. And then when we took him to the doctor called in his colleagues and said, "You've got to see these. These are the biggest ones I've ever seen." After his surgery, he came home and I couldn't hear him breathe, and I was in his room every 10 minutes.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, you're such a good parent for being aware of it. And normally when a guy hears they're the biggest, you know, ever the doctors have ever seen, it's a good thing, but not with adenoids.
No, not at all.
You think from that 17 seconds, Elise, you can detect sleep apnea? Are you a sleep doctor?
I'm not saying I can detect sleep apnea. You are snoring.
She's saying it could be adenoids. She's saying that adenoids are the reason why her son was snoring.
It sounded like that. That's why my son was snoring. I could hear him anywhere.
By the way, if you're spelling adenoids in Game of Scrabble, there's an E in it.
Yes, A-D-E-noids. Good point. All right, Elise.
Thank you.
Yep, you're motivating me, I think.
It's an 8-letter word. You get a 50-point bonus if you used all 7 letters.
Yes, there we go. Taxi driver, what? You sleep in your car all the time. You're fine.
While you're driving.
No, I don't. But I had a really bad, severe case of sleep apnea, and it's really changed my life around. I mean, you really should do a sleep study. You have insurance, right?
I have insurance, yes. Thank you, taxi driver.
So all you have to do is go in there and be tested and have a sleep doctor check you out. It won't hurt you to have it done, you know?
Is that really a career? You're a sleep doctor? That seems amazing.
That's
a career.
But I really would love to have a segment where Harry interviews Chelsea. Oh. I think it would be the best radio ever.
Next Saturday.
We'll work on that, Bob. Thank you.
Next Saturday, Bob. Listeners ask okay. for it.
Thank you.
Listeners get it.
Can I hear myself snoring one more time, just for my own sanity? That's the greatest guy to sleep with right there. Who wouldn't want to be next to that guy? Oh, he's really? Working so hard.
Working so hard.
I mean, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but what if this is like on the couch and you're watching a movie at night and all of a sudden you're doing that?
I mean, that's serious.
Curtis, could you please play the sound of Mark shaving legs?
Can you believe that she didn't wake me up there? That's love right there. If you're willing to actually record that and not wake me up and just let me sleep, that just shows.
I can't believe you're missing the most obvious part of this.
What is that, Harry?
Why was she up recording you? Because your snoring is keeping her from sleeping.
Right, and she didn't wake me. That's beautiful.
You can't. Look, it's not beautiful. It's beautiful when the breadwinner can get a good night's sleep.
Oh, you're saying that I need to work on myself so she can sleep well because she's the one that's leading the family? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying because your kids are in love. The sleep study is you go to the hospital for one night. They hook up a bunch of stuff to your hair, to your ears, to your mouth. And then there's someone that like will be in there charting you.
Okay. Sometimes nowadays, Harry, they just send you home and there's a kit or whatever. Okay. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. This was on the radio.
And if you're having trouble falling asleep, may I recommend tennis?
Quick time out. That's rude. Love tennis. I love watching it before bed, too. And any other sport. It puts me in a beautiful place of mind, Harry. And then I wake up, and it's just right there for me. It's a, you know, come on.
I'm going to record you snoring tonight, Karen.
Come on over. We'll cuddle. 720 WGN. All right, just a couple texts here before we get to Harry's big story of the day, which is a huge story, and it's terrifying. 847. Do not listen to any of them. You do not have sleep apnea. You are sleeping soundly. Mark from the 708. Take a shot of Jack Daniels before you go to bed, and you will be fine. It works for me. I think that's excellent. Mark, that sounded like a man sleeping. Chelsea should have her own room. That's okay.
More couples are doing that now.
630 says it sounded like Wolfman audio, which I think is a compliment somewhere. Yeah. So I think I'm doing a great job sleeping, personally.
And again, we're not diagnosing you with sleep apnea. We're saying for something that could be very serious, you should invest one night. Go get it checked out.
Okay, fine.
Sleep study is what you want to do.
Fair enough. Now, turtles are taking over the world.
If only we had some turtle music.
Turtle music? We have turtle music? You know how to do radio. Look at you.
And I like Donatello, but I see you as a Michelangelo guy.
I never saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What?
I never.
What?
Why would anybody ever watch
You've
that
movie?
You've
never seen James Bond movies.
That's not true. That's not true. Take that back. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, just not. That's not my game. Let me watch Hoosiers for the 10th time.
Hoosiers is awesome. A guy in Florida this week, a 61-year-old man in Florida.
Please get the Mutant Ninja Turtles music off. I'll pay you money, Curtis.
Curtis, who is your favorite turtle?
That's a good one. I'm a Leonardo guy, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like them all, though.
Yeah.
I slightly lean Leonardo.
Oh, Leonardo is a great turtle. The song just makes you want to get some pizza, doesn't it? Ben, you up for pizza? Yeah. Okay, so 61-year-old man in Florida this week was arrested for disturbing the peace. He said, "Don't mess with me or I will call out my army of turtles." So, here's my question, listeners. 312-981-7200. An army of turtles, like giant turtles, would be scary, but what army of animals would make you the most afraid? Take any animal, imagine that they are 50 feet tall and they are an army working together as one unit. Which animal would scare you the most? Carm.
I don't know if it's because I'm such an egomaniac that I don't think of these ideas, that I think it's such a bad, weird thing that you're coming up with. I'd be terrified of any animal, man. And a 50-foot ant?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'd faint and it'd be all over. A turtle, like a big octopus coming at me?
Turtles would be like the least scariest. Turtles can't move.
I'd be afraid of some turtle coming after me. Did you come up with an answer yourself over there?
Well, for me, it's easy. For me, it's spiders.
Ooh, yeah, a big spider?
I'm afraid of a little spider. I can't imagine a 50-foot spider. And then you have like a ton of spiders working in unison? That would be scary.
So, do you have, like, nightmares going on over there? You're waking up in the middle of the night and...
I don't sleep.
Okay, so, well, there you go. You're hallucinating.
Calls are coming in at 312-981-7200.
I'm sure they're flying in for this one.
Uh-huh.
Terrifying insects at 50 feet tall.
It could be an insect, could be an animal, like cats. A 50-foot cat?
A 50-foot cat.
Yeah, it could spit a hairball on you.
What about a 50-foot dog? Would you be afraid of a dog, or would they still lick
dogs,
you?
Dogs are so good.
Listen.
Dogs are wonderful.
100%, I agree. Yes, Curtis?
A bee or a hornet.
A bee or a hornet. Terrifying.
I wouldn't be afraid if they were Charlotte hornets. Because they were never scary.
I wouldn't be either, but...
What's that new terrifying movie that's
Us.
Out? Us. You going to see that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Jordan Peele, man. Everything he touches turns to gold. Master of Suspense, his other one was great.
I don't put myself into the horror movie thing. I just don't make. I don't put myself through that.
No, this is Carm in a horror movie.
No, it's not true. I'm on the edge of my seat, and then I don't sleep. Like, why would you willingly do that for yourself? Get Out messed me up for weeks.
Have you ever seen The Exorcist?
No.
Seriously?
I have not. I've seen Halloween.
You've never seen The Exorcist?
I've seen Friday the 13th.
What do you do at night?
I watch sports. I read about
sports. I watch sports, too.
I've never... I don't know. I don't want...
You don't go see movies.
I'm going to a movie tonight.
The Exorcist is like probably the scariest movie I've ever seen. What, I mean, Jaws is do you consider Jaws a horror movie?
No. Jaws is a great film.
Jaws is a great film.
Jaws is phenomenal. But no. that's brilliant. All right, we gotta hand over the show. I see Jay Manzouris is apparently in for Amy. Is that right? Great. Okay. We'll talk to Jay in a second. 720 WGN.